Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. A very warm welcome. With me today in studio is the best-selling author, medical doctor, and doctor of light medicine, Dr. Karen Kann. And today we're going to be talking about how sensitivity is truly our superpower. Welcome, Dr. Karen, to Voice Rising.
Oh, thank you, Kara. Thank you so much. I'm really honored to be here today.
First of all, congratulations. Congratulations on your new book that is out called Sensitivity is Your Superpower. And I would love to talk to you today about the power of empaths, the gifts that they're bringing to our world, an increasingly harsh world in many ways, and also a world that is full of miracles, and also the role that our voice plays in the world. So let's start in a very easy place, maybe. Were you a highly sensitive, empathic kid, or did you just feel a little bit different?
Thank you. Well, as a child, I was highly sensitive, and my mother and grandmother on the maternal side was also very highly sensitive. And interestingly, my dad was not. So I grew up in a place where it was, and a lot of people have gone through this as sensitive souls, where, you know, it wasn't, let's just say, honored or congratulated that we were sensitive. We were made fun of, told that they're, you know, grow a tougher skin. I remember my first husband, it was kind of like, just be like a duck, you know, don't be so sensitive, and all this kind of stuff. So this is really, really common among highly sensitive people, that they think there's something wrong with them. And that's why I wrote this book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower, because you and I know that ability to empathize and to feel into what other people are feeling is really, at the end of the day, is really a superpower, because that's how we're going to heal this planet, at least from my perspective.
Yes, yes. I think that's so true. I mean, if we look, we've all gone through a very incredible shift the last 2 years. I know that in Europe, there's been a lot of lockdowns, a lot of isolation, a lot of loneliness. We have a war that's going on. And at the same time, it is highly sensitive people that are going to be able to sense what we need going forward, right? And how can we harness those gifts? You were talking about, you know, we're told not to get a tougher skin, but at the same time, when we go out into the world, sometimes there's a struggle happening in this fear-based world. So how can we begin to harness the gifts of intuition and empathy?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and what I'm so passionate about in teaching people. The way I see it is that one of the mistakes, if you will, or things that highly sensitive people go through is that their sensitivity is not managed. Mm-hmm. So they just feel a whole bunch of stuff, and it's overwhelming, right? So many sensitives have gone through the past 2 years, especially a sense of depression and that worsening loneliness, because not only can they feel just their own, they can feel everybody else's anxiety and fear, and they can literally be stopped in their tracks. So one of the first things, and this is, I would say, the most important chapter in the whole book, chapter 4, is that I created a very simple methodology, if you will, for us highly sensitive people to be able to connect to the core within or the inner wisdom. Some people will call it connecting to source in a way in which is very easy for someone like myself that is highly, you know, productive, let's just say, that sitting meditation for 60 minutes at a time just didn't work for me because I just wouldn't do it. So I created a technology or methodology that people can connect to the still point inside, and they, therefore, anything that is not them starts to peel away naturally. Now, there are other things we teach in the book, of course, but this is a very, very big step because automatic healing occurs when we're connected to source inside our inner wisdom, our zero point field. And this is where we start getting to know who we really are. So if I wake up one day, Kara, and I'm irritable, one of the first things I go is I go within, feel the vibration in my body, which is part of the methodology, that stillness through observing internal movement is what we call that chapter.
Right.
And I can go, okay, well, that's me. So whose stuff is this? Right? So if I'm being irritable, I might be tuned into mass consciousness, for example. And I'm like, okay, something's going on. So then I can, you know, connect with source. I use divine muscle testing using my body. And I just ask questions. What needs to happen here? Do I need to clear this? Do I need to heal them? Do I need to heal myself? And then I get those answers. And then I do the healing. And then it's almost like switching on a light switch. It's like, boom, I'm back to me. And no longer am I necessarily feeling the ills of the world, because it's not necessary for most of us to do that.
So talk to us about muscle testing. I know it from applied kinesiology, and normally one works often with a partner also, and the one person might hold out the arm and the other person is testing. I've done it before for foods or thoughts. How can somebody do this all by themselves? You're talking about we wake up in the morning and we have this ability, which is just fascinating, that the body itself knows innately, you know, it's as if we have an inner guidance system. Innately, these thoughts are not ours or are not maybe good for us, or this is actually intuitively where we want to go, where our logical mind might say, you know, you're in another direction, but actually our body does know. How can we do this all by ourselves?
Well, you're absolutely right that our bodies do know, and divine muscle testing is a way in which kind of bridging direct knowing or claircognizance with not tuning into our intuition at all. So that it's a wonderful bridge, and our bodies are the key or the interface between connecting to that source intuition. So you're right. Like, a lot of people will learn it through applied kinesiology, where we have a partner with an outstretched arm, and I teach that as well. But for self-muscle testing, we first, the way I teach it anyway, we first tune in through that STOEM procedure, the stillness procedure. And then there are several different ways of doing self-muscle testing, and there are checks and balances. And in Chapter 5, I actually go through step-by-step how someone can learn to do that on their own without a partner. So, because it's so empowering to be able to be lying in bed, for example, and be able to do healing on oneself without getting your partner up and going, oh, honey, can you wake up? I really need to muscle test something.
I do it a lot in grocery stores, right? I'm always amazed that you can, even something that's organic and healthy, if you do the muscle testing, it, your body does say that this, let's say this natural honey, is going to work for your body maybe better than the other natural honey.
Yep.
And it's just fascinating. It's just fascinating because here we go, we come back to frequency and vibration and resonance. These are also words that you use a lot. You know, how do we come, how do we tune in to our own guidance system? How do we tune in to the world? And like you're saying, we do have tools to help us. And what I understood now is to literally understand that these things, these frequencies or vibrations that we're sensing, let's say it's the collective and we wake up in the morning irritable, they're not ours. I mean, they're ours in the sense of unity consciousness, that we're all one, but we don't have to take on the world. We don't have to carry the world on our shoulders. And that's a big thing. I mean, you write in your book that the newest studies say that approximately 30% are highly sensitive. And many of the highly sensitive people, they do suffer from depression and anxiety and autoimmune diseases. And you also write, let me check my notes. I thought it was just unbelievable. The number of women diagnosed and medicated with adult ADHD has increased by 344% in one decade. I mean, that's immense. In America, and I was trying to research on a global scale, in America we have 81 autoimmune diseases, and I had different information than you did, which was even higher. 23.5 million Americans have an autoimmune disease. I mean, if we can tap into our own healing powers, imagine how much energy can be set free positively if we're able to come back into balance and heal. I mean, that's a massive amount of people that are struggling with autoimmune, and that's only autoimmune. I mean, we're not talking about other things like, you know, heart attacks or, you know, it's like, that's
right.
Only autoimmune.
Well,
I mean,
and
right?
Autoimmune is, I mean, it continues rising, and over the last 2 years, I think it's exponentially rising, unfortunately. And people are kind of lost because our doctors, and I'm a medical doctor, so I'm saying on behalf of my profession,
Yeah. We
don't really know how to treat these things in terms of a self-healing or a curative way. We do give medications what I would say mask the symptoms, mm-hmm. so the mm-hmm. symptoms aren't there, and we kind of give a Band-Aid. But a lot of people are looking for not just a Band-Aid, but actually healing the underlying reasons for those things. And for me, that stillness is the main, you know, core or foundation of all of our sensitivities, that 30% of people, you know, who are highly sensitive, being able to be turned into a superpower. Because eventually you'll just get answers just dropping into that stillness, whether it be a word or a scene in your mind, or a song, or a vibration, you know, that's going to guide. And the muscle testing is just kind of an in-between, kind of a bridge, you know, training wheels, if you will, for direct knowing until we get to that space. So we teach you to do one form of the muscle testing in the book called Body Sway Method, or Intuitive mm-hmm. Body Dowsing. And then people can experiment with other ways. I have a whole course, you know, on the muscle testing and intuitive development if people want to go further. But there's so many different ways that we can use our superpowers. And this is just, you know, just a couple, but they're very powerful.
Yeah, they are very powerful. And I was thinking that, you know, that's the interesting thing. Stillness, and of course, me being somebody who works a lot with sound, it seems also when we quiet the mind, it's almost as if we're giving space, like you said, to hear
Absolutely. That
word or hear that vibration. Because I think a lot of people that I know, they get so nervous because they feel like whenever they go and sit, like you said, in meditation, the monkey mind comes up and they feel so drawn and pulled, and they can't find that still point. But if we can remember that it's an opportunity to tune into our own vibrational space, right? That it's like an opportunity. I think people misunderstand. They think it's like dead silence that they're looking for instead of, I'm looking for this connecting point, connecting me to source.
Right. Yeah? And, you know, most people, Kara, I have found, at least the people I work with, that as far as the superpower gifts are concerned, mm-hmm. clairsentience, the ability to feel in the body, is mm-hmm. a dominant clair for most
yeah.
highly sensitive people. Now, some people, maybe you, may be more clairaudient, for example,
mm-hmm.
more hearing, or some people are more clairvoyant, so they see things in their mind's eye or outside, quote-unquote, themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And other people have other, you know, gifts as well. And when we do the stillness through observing internal movement, we're actually taking that clairsentience ability to just feel in the body and just turning our attention and awareness into the body. Like, for example, mm-hmm. I can talk to you and meditate at the same time. I know people will argue that that's not possible, but I call it stillness on the fly. What happens is I'm talking to you and I'm actually aware of energy movement in my body, where it goes, yeah. left, right, up, down, without judgment. In that space, I can connect with you while I'm still connected to the zero-point field. And that's where I've seen miracles occur, automatic healing, synchronicities, which is like, you know, the universe's way of saying, hey, you're on the right track. You know, all these things magically manifesting. It's a wonderful place to be, but it's so easy. You know, literally it takes longer to explain how to do it than to do it, you know. And people can just do it in and out. And for someone who is clairaudient, for example, for like I'm learning to use some of these other skill sets, sometimes you can just listen to the sound of your ambient environment or whatever's going on and really, really, really listen carefully. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if I tune in right now to my hearing, I hear yes. almost like a white noise, like shh.
Yeah.
It's not unpleasant, but I can pay attention to a hearing. In that space, guess what? We tell the mind what to do, so that monkey mind has a job. And once mm-hmm. the monkey mind has a job, it's so focused on doing the job that it doesn't go blah, 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 blah. By the way, what's for lunch? Blah, blah, blah. So-and-so owes me money, right? All that other stuff just kind of falls away when we can tune into one or more of the senses and really pay attention to it. That's
and that is... Yeah, and that is also what one received from the book, is that it made me smile. You have very clear commands, almost, like a command, a conversation with Source, with God, with Universe. Like you just said, the monkey mind doesn't have a chance if we realize that we are coming from that still point and that connected space, and you direct with an intent what you would like. Uh-huh. That's how I understood it, which I
Absolutely.
Think is, yeah, which is where we're empowering, where we don't get lost in let's say the collective news cycle, because we realize that we can choose.
Absolutely. We may not have full control, because people love control, and mm-hmm. I'm a recovering perfectionist and control freak, so mm-hmm. I know all about yeah. control. We can't control what happens in the outside world, because that is co-created with the collective. But what we
right.
can control is our perception of it and our action and our thoughts and feelings about that. So it's okay to have a reaction. It's just that we don't want to stay in that space of reactivity, because we want to be in the place of creativity. Because we're creating our next moment in the present.
Right. Perfect. Dr. Karen, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to be back with more.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstead, and with me today is the best-selling author and doctor of light medicine, also a medical doctor, Dr. Karen Kann. And we're talking about sensitivity and how this is our superpower. Dr. Karen, you said we were talking about feelings and having an embodied practice and really understanding that emotions, this is like energy in motion, and finding that still point. And I was going to ask you, what do people do who are afraid of feeling deeper? They're afraid that when those feelings come up, they go into overwhelm. Is that also just coming back to that still point again and again?
Well, it sounds simplistic, so I'm going to say it a different way.
Okay.
That a lot of times when we are in that state of fear, anger, irritability, things like that, we're still locked in our minds, and so the emotion can wash over us. And unfortunately, if the emotion, as you know, is locked and not actually moving, it kind of just sticks with us. So what we teach in the book related to this is to actually go into the body. So in other words, we get scared of that. Our mind goes, don't go there, right? But if we go, okay, so I'm angry right now, we can label it whatever it is, irritable, anger, fear, and we go, what's going on in my body? So my perfect example of this is that I watched a scary movie, and the first time I watched, like, The Ring, I was so scared. I couldn't sleep properly for 3 days. I tried meditation. I tried Kundalini yoga. I tried progressive relaxation. I tried oming. You name it,
yeah.
I tried it. Nothing worked. So, of course, I had to watch the sequel several years later, and my husband was like, uh-oh. I had to see what happened. So I figured, well, I'm just not going to sleep for 3 more days, right? So I thought, okay, well, nothing worked last time, so I'm just going to be scared. I'm just going to be scared. So I thought, well, what does my body feel like when it's scared? And all of a sudden, like a light switch again turned on. And all of a sudden, I felt this pulsing in my body, like I was on like electrical wire, you know, and it was like vroom, vroom, vroom. And it was so big. I was just telling my mind, hey, focus on the body. I felt all this running through my body. And I was so curious, like, whoa, I didn't feel that 2 minutes ago. What's going on?
Yeah.
Right? And I was just noticing it, that I fell asleep. And then I realized, oh, that's what my teacher, my meditation teacher, my Reiki teacher has been saying for years about being present. That's what she's talking about. Just allow it to be in the body. And then it moved, right? And then I was no longer scared. And I was like, okay, so now when I'm irritable or upset, or whether it's my stuff or somebody else's stuff, if I go into stillness, if I do that stillness exercise, I just feel the discomfort in my body, just curious about it. And as I'm telling my mind what I want it to do, instructing it and giving it orders, then what happens is that as I follow that energy in my body, it just goes. Now, that could take a day, that could take a minute, you know? So as we practice it, it gets easier and easier. And the nice thing is that's when we are really stressed out with a problem, I find that this is my number one tool to go to, because what to do next comes from the stillness space. So as we just accept and feel and allow it to be there, then that intuition drops right in.
And that's where we have the integration, too, of all this expansive energy that's running through our core. And my experience, too, working with a lot of voices and healing a lot of, you know, voice things, is that it's not only the irritability or the anger or the fear, it's also the bliss and the joy that it's hard if we're not used to it, to even feel ecstasy or pleasure, right? And it's just allowing, opening ourselves to this depth of feeling that we do have, which is, I love that. It's a coined word, but it was in the book, of this, you know, energy in motion, emotion. This is This is a nice way to look at emotions, that it's just this vibrant energy that is connecting us all, this beautiful force. You talk a lot about the importance also of hydration, that we need to remember that when we work with our body, we need to be well hydrated. Why is being well hydrated so important for us to really get deeply connected with this embodied practice?
It's quite interesting, and my understanding of water has definitely expanded over the years, and it's fascinating. The study mm-hmm. of water is absolutely fascinating. In short, in our physical bodies, our electrical potential of every single cell is dependent on how hydrated we are. And so communication between different organs, glands, cells, and I would argue, you know, the interface of our nervous system with the universe mm-hmm. does require that signal or those signals to go through quickly and easily. So when our cells are dehydrated, we can't generate the signal. Our vitality goes down. Our ability to make shifts and changes also goes down. So hydration is kind of a thing to help us not just physically, but also spiritually and energetically, so we can make those connections, make those changes, and make things happen faster. Mm-hmm. And I'm not much for, you know, drinking tap water, so I do all sorts of things with my water to make it as high vibrational as possible, as clean and clear and structured as possible. So I go through a whole bunch of different procedures, which actually I decided to share on my Healthy Habits, Healthy Life free YouTube video series, because people ask me, what do you do every day? And I'm like, I'll show you. I'll do 52 weeks of it. How about that? So every week I do a video.
We do know that, water, we're able to program water. And if you think mm-hmm. that our body is at least 80% water, we're so connected to the oceans of this world and
absolutely.
The beautiful raindrops, right? That we are programming. And I do a lot of work also with sound healing. And it's also interesting, the power of sound and the power of our voice and the words, that the words can also program water. And if we think about that, then how we speak to each other, if it's respectful and kind and uplifting and empowering, can also change somebody's system, right?
Right. And our own, because so many people speak kindly to others but not to themselves.
Yeah. Talk about that. There was a phrase that I remember as a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I was always like, I don't know who said that phrase, but I was like, but the words really do hurt. They can really, really hurt. A word can uplift us and make us fall in love, and a word can, can destroy us. I mean, one sentence said in the wrong moment. How do empaths and highly sensitive people deal with that? I actually work more from a place of strengthening my connection to Source and strengthening my own frequency. I see everything very connected. So this idea of drawing strict boundaries does not work for me. Also as a performer, when I'm with an audience and complete strangers, I need to open and melt and surrender. I can't now be drawing boundaries anywhere. So how do empaths deal with that hurt, the basic languaging that people are so insensitive at times? I know I'm going to have to come and practice more of the stoem, right? The silence or still point meditation. Yeah.
Yes, it's super helpful. And I'm a big picture person, and I think it's been really, really helpful to see the bigger picture. So mm-hmm. in the bigger picture, especially when we're receiving or on the receiving end of something that is unkind or that we perceive mm-hmm. as unkind, then if we see the bigger picture, that if we truly are all one organism, if you will, mm-hmm. All one, then it's sort of like, you know, another version of you having a bad day or, you know, mm-hmm. And a lot of times we are really harsh with our thoughts or judgments of other people because we are not fully allowing that self-love and self-respect, you know, in other words, not fully 100% loving and accepting of ourselves. So it always turns back to us. And so it's you know, everybody has their own perspective. A lot of times they're in pain, and that's why they're saying things that may be painful. So it is, I don't know if you are a Star Trek fan, but I was a Captain Kirk Star Trek fan. And I clearly remember one of my favorite, which was very impactful, and I understand why now. There was an empath that the quote-unquote aliens had, and they were using her. Her name was Jem, to heal Dr. McCoy every time they would torture him, and she would have to put her hands on him. She would adopt his pain, and then he would heal, and then she would heal. But it was so painful for her to do that, she refused to do it. Yeah, at the very end, because he was near death, right? And so what I think is that in reality, when empaths and highly sensitive people feel deeply, that is our superpower. Because if we feel this deeply, we're not going to kill each other. And everyone is going towards that degree of empathy, even people who classically aren't considered sensitive, who you don't think would, you know, get transformational telepathy that we teach in the book or would you know, be sensitive. The natural ascension, if you will, or the expansion of the universe is that everyone is getting these gifts more and more and more. Just some of us are early adapters. Some of us are, you know, born here to do this kind of work, to be the ones to hold the love and the empathy. So when we're feeling that pain, as long as we see the big picture that it's not going to kill us, it's not, we don't even die, really, right? You know, the embodiment is temporarily there. That if we can just be in the pain momentarily, but continue on, you know, then we help set up beautiful positive morphic fields or blueprints for others to be able to go beyond their pain and transcend that pain, and in that space, we actually, if you will, send healing to ourselves and other people.
I think that is such a good point, the idea of self-love, because I know that also from myself and also working with so many people that often it's ourselves that we're the hardest on, right? Mm-hmm. It's easier for us to give and to uplift others, but to really be gentle with ourselves, to really be kind and caring and
forgiving.
Exactly. You do talk about, you have the word proxy, it's that often empaths are able, like you said in the, you know, the image of Star Trek, to basically, there is a possibility that we can and I've experienced this with friends where they were in a coma and, you know, they asked me to be the healing person, the person receiving the Reiki, so that they would, in the end, and it worked. It worked. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Or the session, right? The word proxy, and you talk about healing modalities also where we can learn, you know, to... how to explain them best. You were talking about dolls or teddy bears or take things if that person is not in the room, that we can also set the intent on healing. Talk to us a little bit more about that, because what it means, of course, if we have permission, I'm assuming that you know, we need to ask permission from the people that we want to heal or support. But what's your experience? Let's say there's a mother. I mean, this is a good thing. We just had 2 years of COVID in Berlin. Children could not go to the hospitals where their mothers or fathers might have been at the station going through cancer therapy or COVID treatments or whatever. So they couldn't reach them. They were not allowed to enter the building. What are the possibilities we have to connect and to heal using proxy or using,
Well, this is actually in some ways a double-edged sword, if you will. We don't talk too much about the other part of it, but in the chapter on healing by proxy prop, we teach people a way in which we can use a proxy, in this case a doll or teddy bear, as the other person who's given permission to heal. And we can actually do basically hands-on healing on the doll, which then transfers to that other person. Now, the other part of that, you know, what I'm talking about, the double-edged sword, is that sometimes highly sensitive people automatically proxy with their own bodies what's going on with someone else that may or may not be appropriate. A lot of times it's not appropriate, which is what gets people in trouble and very symptomatic.
Yeah.
I was auto-proxying in the past for Mother Earth. So if there was a war that was about to break out somewhere, you know, I would get a pain in my knee and I'd be like, okay, I didn't really do anything. But I learned to use the muscle testing and tune in. And of course, the universe knows what I can handle. So it's like, okay, what's going on? Right. And I was like, you're Mother Earth right now. I'm like, okay, so what's going on? Oh, okay. Yeah. Both Koreas are going to kill each other. Okay. So am I supposed to do healing here? Yes. Okay, great. So I would do whatever I was called to do. Then I would then like instantaneously stop proxying for Mother Earth. So, you know, we do go into a little bit about proxying in the chapter on divine muscle testing, because people do be, you know, may need to be aware that when they do the testing, sometimes when they say their name, they're not them. you know, my name is Susie, and they get a no. I'm like, uh-oh, now what, right?
Yes.
I've had clients, patients, you know, when I had an office, you know, would come in, and, you know, sometimes we would test them with two-person muscle testing, especially the young people, so they can kind of get that it's not completely woo-woo, like they're involved in the experience. And we had someone who was, you know, a young 14-year-old who was basically not him. He was a little old lady.
Yeah.
And he was acting like a little old lady. And when we cleared that personality from him, he started becoming a happy, healthy teenager again. I only had to see him twice. And all the issues just fell away because he was not him. And we found out through muscle testing that he had had a knock to the head at age 2, which he denied. But mother, you know, called me later and she says, he doesn't remember, but yeah, he fell off a counter and it was bad. We went to the hospital. We thought he was going to die. I mean, you know, so it was at that point with that personality attached to him, and he literally was proxying for that personality since age 2. So he was a worry.
Well, it's a long time. Yeah, it's a long time.
Yep, until we cleared that, and then he was back to normal teenage happy self. So that was cool.
Wow. Well, I know it also with a lot of acting friends that I have, they can identify so much to the role that they can manifest physical illnesses. That is unbelievable. Dr. Karen, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to be back with more fascinating conversation about highly sensitive people.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me today is Dr. Karen Kann, and we are talking about her newest book called Sensitivity is Your Superpower. Karen, let's talk about the soul mission matrix. So after everybody has their daily needs maybe taken care of, the roof over their heads, that they're not hungry, that they have food, clothes to wear, a lot of times there's this underlying question, why am I here? What's the point? I don't understand. You know, I'm running after whatever, the paycheck and whatever, but I feel that there needs to be a deeper purpose. Talk to us about this soul mission matrix and why it's so important that we get on point, that we get on purpose, what that does to us.
Mm-hmm. I believe, and it could be different from what others believe, but I believe that each of us chose to be here at this time, and that on the way to humanhood or embodiment, we actually, with others, call them guides or angels or other souls, we actually choose what we are here to quote unquote do or accomplish in this lifetime, or we also get a chance to decide what we want to do for fun as well. We call that the soul experience template, which is not in the book. It's in one of my level one training programs, a little bit more complex. But the soul mission is kind of like our self-stated job, like what we said we wanted to accomplish. And at the same time, it actually helps evolve all of humanity, assuming one is embodied as a human at this point. So whatever we do and accomplish, we actually help other humans do as well, because we set up or reinforce blueprints or positive morphic fields or grids of it already having been done. So you're right. A lot of people, if they don't have a roof over their heads, and they're just trying to survive, right? They're not thinking about what's my soul mission, right? They're just trying to survive. But once you have those basics met, it's just innate within humans to start questioning, why am I here? What is life for? And if we don't answer that for ourselves, then one can get really, really despondent and upset and, you know, feel betrayed and like, you know, and this is, what's the point of life, that kind of thing. So we kind of took some of the work from Dolores Cannon, who is very famous for many books, including one of my favorites, Three Waves of Volunteers, where she talks about these beings incarnating as humans having a special mission, and she divided it into a doing mission or being mission. The being mission people are here to vibrate at a particular frequency. Most often, that when I've done testing on people, and the procedure step-by-step is right in the book, when I've done testing for my VIP clients and students, the being mission is often joy. Just to be, vibrate joy, or vibrate love, or vibrate peace. That is their mission. They could be the janitor. It doesn't really matter what they do, as long as they are being that. Now, the doing people actually have more of an action-oriented job, if you will. And sometimes that will be protection. Sometimes that will be teaching, awakening, things like that. So we're an action-oriented society, so a lot of people kind of like that, that they have an action. And when they just have a being mission, they kind of sometimes get upset. Because like, yeah, but should I become a healer? Or should I become an actor? You know, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. You just be while you're doing whatever it is you wish to do. And here's the cool thing, Kara, is that apparently our soul mission is not just one. We can actually complete multiple soul missions in a particular lifetime if we are aware and we're working it. I've kind of lost count which one I'm on right now. But I
was going to say, good to know.
Yeah, I just thought it was one mission, that was it. And I finished that. Like one of my first missions, I believe, that I was aware of anyway, that I was here to protect Mother Earth from dark forces. Although when you look at the news, you think, well, I don't think that's worked yet. Yeah, it has, okay? Just like, trust me on that one. But that is not my main mission anymore, because so many of us have contributed to that. There are other things that I'm doing or being right now. So I think it's pretty interesting. So, yeah, our missions can change over time. We just show you step-by-step how to extract that. Now, we do use muscle testing for that, stillness, muscle testing, and we give you a chart on how to extract your soul mission.
Well, I think that when we go back to Well, the beginning, again, what you're saying is that is where we're empowered also, because if we have a sense that I chose to be here. I chose to incarnate while there's COVID, while there's wars, while there's hunger, while whatever, then it's very empowering, because then it's exciting. It's like, how do I bring my gifts to this world? Because I made that choice on a soul level, right?
Right.
And that is, I think that is coming from a different space, because then you can't fall into victimhood. Then we can't be despondent, because then we're like, well, time's running, clock's running. I mean, I got a mission, right? Mission of the heart is right here. So I wake up every day and get to choose, you know, if my mission is then to hold the joy factor and I'm a janitor or a waitress or a cook or a CEO of a big company, it makes it all easier. It, for me at least, it makes it all a little bit easier, because, it's anybody who knows me, I can quickly go into joy factor and laughter and just alchemize, just lift things up. But talk to us about the frequency. Do you think there's a frequency of unconditional love, like a universal good vibe frequency, that where we can shift harm to harmony and where we can just kind of tune in and start to vibrate at a really, high rate of consciousness?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe at least functionally it's very helpful mm-hmm. to believe that each of these words that we use, like love or unconditional love, they actually have a matching blueprint or frequency associated with it. Now, mm-hmm. I have not met any human, full 100% human, that is 100% conscious. You know, I haven't met anyone that's 100% conscious all the time, 24/7 yet. Now, that being said, what I did get from Source as a real cool tip was that as I do the stillness through observing internal movement procedure, if I can get to 9 to 10% of the waking time, that's when magic is really amplified and it's exponential. The more we connect to that still point, the more we see in terms of synchronicities, manifestations, you know, things like that. And this place of... you know what? I just forgot your question.
I was talking about if it do you think that there's a certain vibration?
Frequency. Oh, there we go.
Frequency of vibration, universal unconditional love. It's okay. I got my notes. I got your back.
Oh,
and that's the
All
beauty
right.
of intuition, where we
that.
Just start to flow. Exactly.
Thank you. I got so excited about it.
That's all right.
So I've recently realized that. Think of it as facets of a diamond, but it's like millions of facets, not just X number in a physical diamond. So there are millions of different frequencies, and not only is there what we commonly talk about, unconditional love, there's transmutational love. There's a whole bunch of different versions of love, and each of them have different roles, if you will, in practically speaking, in mm-hmm. what can happen in our lives. When we go into that still space, what happens in that, I like to call it the nothing or the zero-point field, mm-hmm. as we connect there, the natural outcropping of being is actually joy, peace, love, etc. So mm-hmm. when people, well, how do I vibrate love? Like, how do I be that frequency? I'm like, go into stillness, because it's going to be a natural outcropping of that. And that's the quickest, fastest way in. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, other types of meditation are not valid. They absolutely are. I always say at the end of the day, it's whatever works. So if your life is more peaceful, more joyful, more prosperous, more connecting, you know, then, you know, you're on the right track. So it doesn't matter whether you do my, you know, procedure, methodology, or you do somebody else's. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't work. And I desire harmony and joy and peace for all of humanity. So that's my goalpost. That's what I'm looking for. So mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. always going to be what I compare, you know, my choices with in the big picture. Does that make sense?
You talk about, Yeah, it makes total sense, and I love Zero Point. That is, I feel so at home with that. You also, though, talk about in the muscle testing about positive, you know, like the, you know, swinging forward, positive, negative. There is a place of non-duality, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that is that zero point field when we're at one with all.
Absolutely. And some people call it, you know, the child. So there's the mother, the father, so feminine, masculine, and the child mm-hmm. being the center. And that's the point. You know, I may change my mind on how I describe it, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
But for now, that unity consciousness versus polarity consciousness is a daily awareness, if you will, or practice
yeah.
where I just notice myself going into polarity consciousness and then stepping back and choosing something different. And as you're well aware, there's a lot of, you know, movement in the media and things like that, which likes to polarize people, because you can sell stuff that way, whether it be selling,
yeah.
you know, a particular narrative or selling, you know, a pair of pants. If we stay in that polarity consciousness, which we're moving more and more away from, then we are not evolving. And I believe that humans are evolving that place where we can be at peace with all of us and we can see the polarity but not choose it, if that makes sense.
No, I love that. It makes total sense. See the polarity but not choose it. And there we come back to this, that we do have the choice. So if we know that we have incarnated at this time, if we know that we have tools in our, you know, little toolbox or in our pocket that we can get out of overwhelm because we are highly empathic beings, we know also that we can, what we tune into is important. And so one last thing, how do we encourage all these gentle souls of the world to step into their power? I believe, like you do, that our world is becoming a better place. There are a lot of people doing great work for this world. There is a lot of healing and miracles that are happening. And even though we see this rise in depression and illness, at the same time, there's a lot of people that are slowly saying, this is not how I want to live, and this is not why I came here, and I want to be empowered, and I am ready to drop the duality and step into unity consciousness. So how can, yeah, I mean, you're doing the work, I'm doing the work. What are your thoughts for the next, you know, 6 months to a year or the next 5 years? Where would you like to see our world?
Well, the neat thing is people like you, myself, and others who have really embraced that unity consciousness, we practice that every day, and we have mm-hmm. our own personal challenges. It doesn't mean that we don't, but then the way in which we deal with it. Now, some people will say, well, okay, so what you're saying is we're modeling it for others that may be highly sensitive, but they aren't in a place where they feel balanced right now, and they're looking up to you, Kara, or me, and going, mm-hmm. well, they've got it together, or they seem more peaceful, so maybe we should follow them. And that is true. I mean, that modeling is important, but also when we go back to, like, the basics, the foundation of frequency and resonance, mm-hmm. we're vibrating a certain level or space, if you will, or expansion. Mm-hmm. And so when people are resonant with that, what happens is that as each of us, there may be a million of us scattered throughout this planet doing work, then people can tap into those blueprints already being done. So it's easier for them. And all they need to do really is just have that desire. And then there will be that synchronicity that starts to occur. Now, even if people aren't meditating, what I notice is the universe will find a way to communicate, whether that
yeah.
be through a TV show, a book, a video game, a friend, a magazine, you know, just to try to get somebody's attention. And then if their lives are not working and they get to the lowest of the lows, which many of us have had to do because we just wouldn't stop to listen, it's a really great place to be, because when you're at the bottom of the barrel, you're in the abyss, the only direction is up.
That's it, right?
So yeah,
we do at the
so
bottom
there,
of the swimming pool. We push up.
Yes,
up.
Yes. So there's
exactly.
so, you know, there's, Yeah, that it's a great place to be, and sometimes just by listening and learning, and at the end of the day, like I said, you know, it's like, does it work or does it not work? So if our current way of thinking, acting, speaking has gotten us 10 years of it doesn't work, then maybe we could try something different, you know, maybe something different, or, you know, perceiving something different or speaking differently. And I'm working on that one, the language part, because words are spells. So that's how we create as well through our words, and then our actions. If their word, our thought, words, and actions are all aligned, then we're really, you know, quote unquote, living the life. And it doesn't necessarily look on the outside what people think it should look like. People think of, oh, that means you're really rich and you have a yacht. And you know what? There's a lot of rich people with yachts that are not happy.
Right.
So I'm not saying those are wrong. That's great if you wanted that, but I don't want that. I'm just not really a yacht person. So.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So those, if people are experiencing what it is they wish to see in the world, then more and more people go, well, gosh, if they can do it and they struggle, well, maybe I can do it. And that's, you know, that's kind of another way that we can look at it for everyone.
Yeah, I thank you so much, Dr. Karen Kam, today with us here at Voice Rising. Everybody check out her work and her newest book, which is Sensitivity is Your Superpower. And thank you, Karen, so much for being with me today.
Bless you, Kara. It was a great pleasure and honor.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.